Well, we've got a lesson today that's kind of a hard lesson to teach. There's some hard stuff in here. Sex in the Bible. Well, you could say biblical marriages, biblical relationships, all of that's in this lesson right here. And there's some beauty in this because God created our bodies. He created them. And turn to the book of beginnings, by the way. The book of beginnings, Barashit. Barashit. Or the book of Genesis, as it's known. Genesis, the first chapter. You're going to learn some things here. And some things maybe that you haven't seen before or heard before, because what I'm going to give you is from Greek and Hebrew. All right? Hebrew, of course, here, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And Genesis 1 and verse, let's start with verse 24, okay? Because this is very important. I haven't done this before. I'm just going to, some of you have been listening to me teach this for 30 years. Verse 24, then said, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. Now, come on through. Let the earth, what does it say here? What's bringing forth this? Where are these creatures coming from? From the earth. All right. Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their species, is what it says in the original language. Cattle. All right. Cattle means all type of, goats, sheep, cows, whatever. And creeping things. And beasts of the earth after their species. And it, now the word was there, just mark that out or circle it or something, because it's not was. There is no word for was in Hebrew. It became so. It changed from one state to another, okay? It changed from a state of not being to a state of being, and it became so. All right? And God made the beasts of the earth after their species, and the cattle after their species, and everything that creeps on the ground after its species. And God saw that what? It became good. Now, God is doing some changing here. In Genesis, the first chapter, we're going a long way around, but let's look at this because this is important. In the first verse, it says, Barashit, bara, Elohim. All right? In beginnings. Plural beginnings. Created God, it says, Eth Hashemayim, the heavens. Okay? We have Haaretz and the earth. The earth. Haaretz. And then it says, and the earth, she became. Now, again, here we have another was that shouldn't be there, okay? And the earth, she became formless and void. The earth, she became formless and void. Evidently, what catastrophe took place on the earth did not affect the Hashemayim, or the heavens, as much. But we have here the Haaretz, the earth, became formless and void. Now, the earth was not created formless and void, because we find that in several other places in the Bible. Okay? It was created perfect. But the earth, she became formless and void. And in verse 2, and darkness became over the faces, literally, of the deep, and Spirit God moved mightily over the faces of the waters. Now, you can add some of the things that I'm telling you here, but this is from Hebrew, okay? And then God said, in other words, it was darkness, all right? Darkness was everywhere now. There was no light. And then God said, let there become light, or let light become. And then what does it say? And then light became. Now we have a reconstruction of the heavens and the earth. What happened here originally? In your charts that you have out there, we have the creation of the heavens and the earth. Then we have the destruction of the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 20 or Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 says that Satan destroyed and rebelled against God and destroyed this physical earth that we live upon. Lucifer or Satan was the caretaker of this earth originally. And then God has now going to, he's now going to replace Satan. He's, well, actually Lucifer. He's going to replace Lucifer. Satan means what? If you look back in your lessons, back toward the one where it says Satan, it gives all the names of Satan in there. In your lesson on the doctrines of the Bible, there's one about Satan in there. And it tells you what Satan means. Remember what Satan means? Young lady, you remember what Satan means? Anyone? What's Satan mean? What? Well, no, not destroyer. What? Not deceiver. He is. And all right. What does Satan mean? It comes from a word that means to stand against. And what did he do? What did he do? He ascended what? One who opposes. All right. He stood against God. He opposed God. He ascended into heaven and said, move over. I'm going to be God. And he tried to do it. It tells us in the Bible that at least one third of the angelic forces Satan deceived and convinced them to go against God. But God overcame them because he's God. Now I'll go to Genesis 1 and 26. This is what's happening. God is replacing Satan or Lucifer. Lucifer means light carrier. The angel of light, as the Bible calls him, because he was an angel of light. He was beautiful. Good to have you in here. Genesis 1 and 26. The book of beginnings. Chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, now the word is Elohim. Elohim comes from El Hayim. Elohim means El is God, and there's the word Haya there. The name Jehovah is in that, the Creator is in that name. And then the last part of it is the suffix. And it is plural, it's Im. Hashemayim. Remember that word? That's heaven. What? El Shaddai? That means the all-nourishing one. But we have El, Elohim, and El is the name for God. El. It's the Hebrew word. Okay? Like this. That's El. It's backward. All right? And God said, let us. Now, grammatically, the verb has to agree with the noun, doesn't it? Now, the noun here is plural. Elohim is plural. What do you mean, Elohim? Is it God's? What? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who it was. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a triune God. But because God is triune, the verbs that are used when it's talking about the name Elohim must be plural also. Now the Mormons will say, well, see, there's more than one God here. They believe they're gods, by the way, Mormons do. They think that they're one, all the men are gods. God's an embryo. And they catch up with the Father if they're given enough time, sooner or later. He's got a head start on them. Then God said, Elohim said, let us make man in what? Amen. Our image. According to our likeness. All right. Let's make man according to our shadow casting likeness and our blood flowing in spiritual image. And man was going to be, from the point of creation, he's going to be what? Eternal. He'll never go out of existence. Once a man is born into this world, he will never go out of existence. He is eternal from that time on. He will never stop being. When he dies and goes into the grave, that's not the end of him. Okay? Let us make man according to our image. according to our likeness, and let them what? Let them rule over the fish. Now, what did Lucifer do? He was the angel over the material realm of God. So guess what mankind is here now? What's mankind? Mankind's taking the place of Lucifer. So what are we supposed to do? Watch over God's stuff. Exactly. To watch over God's stuff. Because it's all God's. Now, one weird thing about the Native Americans, American Indians on this continent, they believe that no one can own land. They thought that was real stupid to say that you could own land. So when they came over here and they wanted to buy that island back there in the East Coast, and they offered them all these beads and everything else, the Indians were laughing. These guys think they can own land. What's wrong with these nuts? Man, land owns you. You don't own the land. We're caretakers in God's place over this land. We don't own it. God just lets us watch over it for a while. Whatever you have, and we're going to get down to you, too. Because if you're born again, you're not yours. You're God's. Okay? We're coming to that pretty soon. It says, let them rule over or watch over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth. Here are God's caretakers. Now, Lucifer was over the material creation of God, and now we have mankind over the creation of God, taking his place, watching over God's stuff. God created man in his image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Now, originally he made mankind in one person, one physical body, okay? Mankind was in one physical body. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing. And then he goes on and tells more about it. And in verse 4, the second chapter, it says, this is the family history, the family records of the heavens and the earth, how they were created, or how they came into existence, how they became, in the day that Jehovah Elohim made earth and heaven. And it says at this time in verse 5 that there was no man, or became no man, to cultivate the ground. A mist went out and watered all the earth. And then in verse 7, let's look at this, because this is a great misnomer. Just get your pencils out, because you need to change this to understand what it's talking about here. You know the difference between a primary and a secondary creation? A primary, well, that man is primary, woman is secondary. Okay, now I'm not putting women down at all, by any means, okay, women? Don't think I'm doing that. But back over here in the first chapter, God said, let the earth bring forth animals. Now, where do you think they were created from? From the earth itself. Animals came from the earth, okay? But now we're going to find out something different, and they missed it in the translations. They missed it in the Hebrew, from the Greek, they missed it in the English, and all the translations. But it's here. Verse 6, but a mist used to rise from the earth, and water the whole surface or all the faces of the ground. Then it says, Jehovah Elohim formed man as the dust of the earth. As the dust of the earth. Yes.
Okay, I have been wanting to ask this for a while. If he says, first it says that God created humans, right?
Yeah.
And then it says that he formed man. Is that two different times?
He makes a statement and then he tells you more about it. He just simply made, he created man, and now he tells you how he created man. Okay. He gets down and explains it. All right? The Lord God formed man as he formed the dust of the earth. In the same way that he formed the dust of the ground. the same way. Where did man come from? Not dust. We hear this ever, and every funeral and everything. From dust to dust, and all this ashes to ashes, and all this. Hear it all the time. Bad translation. And it really throws away the creation of God, the way it really was, and how important God is to man. Where did man come from? From God, not from dirt. Man came from God. From God, right out of God. He formed. Where did dirt come from? I come from God. Now, he didn't take this dirt and form man out of a mud doll. Now, you'll see that in almost everything you can think of. He formed him as he formed the dust of the earth. You really got to get into Hebrew deep before you understand that. Most people just touch the surface.
Meaning the same way he made the dirt, he made man.
Man, yes. So man is a primary creation of God, isn't he? He came right straight from God. You take furniture and you make it from a tree. Or cloth or whatever. You make it from something else. Now man didn't come from something else. Now he's related to the earth, because he's made the same way and from the same elements as the earth. And that's where some people go wrong. Why, as you study medicine, we've got a couple of doctors right here right now. As you study medicine, you find the elements in mankind are the same elements that are in the earth, aren't they? All of the elements. And when you get out of, when the human body gets out of balance, you get what? Sick. Where do you eat? Where does all your food come from? The earth. All right. And so when you eat something, it becomes part of you, doesn't it? Now let's look at this a little differently. How many of you learned something right there? Okay? God formed man as he formed the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breathings of life. The breathings of life. In Adam, right there, Adam, Adam. Now, Adam's the human race. Okay? Adam. In Adam, you were there, right then, at that time. Your life was created in Adam right then. That's when your life became. Now, they did a halfway decent job on this in one place. And breathed in his life. Into his nostrils, the breathings of life, and man, what does it say there? In New American Standard, became. Alright? He was nothing to something. He became. And that's the same word that was up there. They just translated correctly right here. Okay? He became a living being. And then, we're going to find out that, as it says here, now we're getting down to where our rendered. So God created man, and man was not altogether happy. Yes, Rosa.
Did God create, when it says he created human, did he create a lot of humans?
No, just one.
Or even just
Adam. All right, he created Adam. And with Adam, from Adam, all the human race would flow. But now it's going to tell you how all that became. Adam named all the animals and the heavens, the earth, and everywhere, as far as I can tell. God walked with Adam and he showed him and educated him in every way. Okay? He educated him. He showed him. And Adam named all these animals, but guess what? He thought he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. He wasn't. He wasn't happy. So God did something. Verse 15. If you want to be happy, what do you need to do? Number 15. What do you gather from this verse? If you want to be happy, what do you need to do? Be busy. All right. If you want to be happy, you need to be creating and doing something. Man, when you just lay around, man's not happy. It's not good for you either. You need to be moving. God is energy. And God created man in his likeness. And God is always creating and doing things. Just look. We were watching a TV, or Dakota was, and I was walking through now and then, on animals. It's just, oh, look at this and look at that. All these animals creating other little animals like themselves. And I said, isn't that magnificent how God created all those things and created everything so differently? We have variety. Now, in the human race, we have variety, don't we? We have people. All of them came from Adam and Eve. Just look around. Just look at the psyche. Look at their personality. Look at the faces. You can tell families. You can raise rabbits. And you can and rabbit breeders, they want all the rabbits to look like other the same kind of rabbits. The chicken, poultry breeders, when they breed chickens, they want them all to act. They want them all to look alike, like peas in a pod, as they say. That breed that is created there, they all need to look the same. And that's and they call that a breed of chicken. Pigeons, even frogs. Cattle, quarter horses, thoroughbreds. The Lord God took man and put him into the garden to cultivate it, and to what? To guard it. That word keep there should not be translated keep, but guard. What was he going to guard it from?
Sin.
What?
Sin.
Well, there was sin, but there was a sinner out there.
The devil.
The diabolos. Now, what does that mean? The diabolos. The destroyer. All right? He was Satan. He was the one that opposed to God. And guess what he's going to do to mankind? Because man took his place. Didn't he? Man took his place. The garden. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you will begin the process of dying. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Okay. And out of the ground, the Lord, or as out of the same elements, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever man called the living creature, that was his name. Or that became his name, literally. And man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there became not a helper suitable for him. He could not find a helper suitable. So Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept. Now what does it say there? This is not what it says either, but I want to know what your Bible says. How many translations we got here?
Same thing.
Huh? Okay. Took what? One of his ribs. What's yours say, young lady? One of his ribs. Well, that's not what it is. There was an old term there for ribs back at that period of time. Ribs meant size. What are ribs? There's your size. Well, God didn't take a rib. He took from his sides. Sides, plural. He took from the sides of man. All parts of man, he took out feminine man. That's what it says. And out of his sides, and he closed up the flesh instead of her. Because he took her out. What did he do? He took man, or he took woman out of man. He took Ishah out of Ish. That's the Hebrew. Ish is man, and Ishah is woman, and it means literally out of man. Okay? Then it says, and the Lord God fashioned into a Ishah the size which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And this is beautiful right here in verse 1.
Yes, yes. Flesh.
All of it took. He took flesh, he took bone, and he took blood. The most woman. And he took that which was woman out of man. I don't know how to say that, but that's what it is. And he built, he formed, and fashioned a Ishah or a woman. And guess what the man says now? Now this is the man talking. This is Adam talking now. This is great philosophy that he's styling forth here. Because he didn't know anything about what he was talking about except what God told him. But he had learned something now. First of all, there had never been anybody born yet, had there? No one has ever been born. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." All right? So it's, this woman's from me. Now, let's look at something now. Man came from God. Where did woman come from?
From man.
From man. So she's very much related to man. Why do you think there's such a close attraction there? Just think about it for a while. Why do you think there's such a close attraction for between women and men? Huh? Because we are tied together in the human race. That's the way God made it. Now this is because she was taken out of man. Verse 24. For this cause a man shall what? Now this is Adam speaking. He didn't know anything about mamas and daddies yet, did he? But he makes a prophecy here. This is prophecy. What's it say there? He shall leave his father and his mother and shall what? And shall be joined to his wife, and they shall what? Become one flesh. Become one flesh. Here's the same word here, haya, in Hebrew. They shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they did not become ashamed. You know why? Because they were married. They were one flesh. And between a man and a woman, there should be no shame. They're married. But it's a marriage only. All right? Now let's go back and look. Did you learn something this morning? There's a lot in the Bible if you really get into it. The languages, there is no shortcut to language. The Bible was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. Hebrew and Old Testament, Greek and New Testament. So you ought to know just a little bit about Greek and Hebrew, especially if you're going to be a Bible teacher. Take out a moment. Now let's look and see what it says here. Now it said that God, in this lesson which I wrote, God created what? He created man, and he created intimacy, sex. All right? He created it. He created all a man and woman's organs and nerves and their bodies, male and female. God created the desire for a man and a woman to be together. God created passion. Yes. Yes. Sorry about that, brother. You were up here so close, I wasn't looking. Now, God created this passion and this love, what we call love. All right? Now, there's the difference between love and lust. I'm going to guarantee you. There's a difference between love and lust. A lot. Hello, brother. Somebody needs to hand these people as they come in. Brother Greg, we got plenty of room. Oh, we got a lot of room. Our God created this attraction. We got a whole mess of people out in the hallway.
Margie has to leave early, so she didn't want to come in and have to leave.
Oh, okay. Well, she can do that. A lot of people have to do that. A lot of people have to do that. Now, God created the passion, the attraction between man and woman. And originally, it was without sin. It was without sin. There was no sin in it. all this pleasure between two individuals God created for their enjoyment, their love. That was created. God created that for you. He created it. But what God creates and what God does, what does Satan always do? He copycats. Not only does he copycat, he tries to destroy everything that God creates and perverts and twists it. He twists and perverts it. Twists and perverts. Tell Brother Art out there and his wife if they want to come in. There's plenty of rooms up here. If somebody wants to do that, we got a lot more chairs. Before the law of Moses was given, homosexuality was a sin. And that sin became a part of idolatrous worship. Alright? That sin became a part of idolatrous worship. Idolatrous worship. What does idolatrous worship mean? The worship of something. If Satan can get man to turn his mind and his heart and spirit away from God, every man has something in mankind that wants to worship something. Do you know that? There is an attraction. Some people like to worship their cars, their houses, their money. You know, you see all of these things. Their wives, their husbands. Can a wife or a husband, can they take the place of God and the adoration that you should give to God? It doesn't say that you should love your wife or your husband less, but when you put them before God, then you're making a mistake also. So everything that God gives us in this world is a gift, but it can become a detriment. It can become a detriment. And even the gift of this attraction, what is known as sex, could become a detriment to mankind, couldn't it? And we find out early in biblical history that it did. Sin became a part of idolatrous worship. Places of worship had been created for sensual pleasures, and they tied these pleasures with their newly created religions. Sex and religion became amalgamated. Sex for hire. In the Bible, it keeps talking about prostitution, harlots, whoredom. Now, God created a woman and a man to be attracted to each other. And women are attracted to men. And men are attracted to women. God created that. But how should we use that? Don't take it out and put it in a religion. Can it become a type? Oh, I worship you. Can it become that? Yeah. We should worship God. We should love our wives and our husbands. But God is the one that we should worship. Now, Brother Phil and Roger have said many, many times about these terrible practices. The religions were sexual religions back in. What is one of the worst names for a woman in history? Jezebel. What kind of religion did Jezebel have? Jezebel, her religion had prostitutes, male and female prostitutes in it. Males for the women and females for the men. And they would go up there and they would pay their tithes by paying for the prostitution. And so they had perverted this beautiful, beautiful thing that God had created, and it had become perverted. Now, in the first place, we have male and female prostitutes. Something happened during this period of time that was really twisted. Men became attracted to other men, and women became attracted to other women. And that's really messed up. God created all of our senses and all of our organs and all of our nerves to fit together between a man and a woman. Only men and women can bring forth more life. Did you know that? That's true. Only men and women can. Otherwise, if everybody were homosexuals, there wouldn't be anybody else. There wouldn't be any more race, human race, would there? All right. Now in Genesis 38 verse 21, somebody turn there for me. Genesis 38 verse 21. This is still the first book in the Bible. And by the way, this is before the law of Moses. What happened here? How had mankind twisted something that was so beautiful into something that was so perverted and twisted? Who's got Genesis 38 and verse 21?
Then he asked the man of that place, saying, "Where is the harlot who was opened by the roadside?"
All right. Now something took place here. Our girl died. Or a husband died, and there was a girl here that wanted to have a child, and one of the man's relatives was supposed to take her as his wife and support her, but none of them would do it, and they wouldn't raise up children. So this girl acts like she is a harlot, and she goes by the roadside. Now the harlots were by the roadside. There were lots of harlots by the roadside. So Judah goes by, and he sees this harlot. And he says, "Oh, I like that. That's a pretty harlot." So he goes, and he's with this harlot. And she gets pregnant, and he pays her a certain amount of money. Well, the whole reason why I brought it in was not that story, because the story is twisted. Okay? It's a twisted story, because these people did not follow what God said. But in this land, they allowed to be false worship. There was false worship all throughout the land. Twisted. Evil. And this false religion, this false worship, was centered around what? Sex. And the attraction of it. Well, God hated it. Number four. God hated homosexuality so much that he leaves an example of his judgment on sin for all to see. He recorded in his book. Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Turn to the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter now. Let's look at that. This is all before the law of Moses, by the way. We're going to find out it was in the law too. Genesis 19 and verse 1. Now two angelic beings came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now, if you go back up here in the 18th chapter, you're going to find out that God tells Abraham that I'm going to go down and I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because there's nothing but solid wickedness there. Not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were five cities there. The cities of the plain. And in these five cities of the plain, it was this constant reveling and immorality. Now look, this is only the 19th chapter of Genesis. It didn't take man long to get twisted, did it? Well, God gives us examples in the Bible of what's good and bad. And these examples tell us, don't do this, because God hates it. The Bible is very plain about things. Sometimes we aren't plain enough about things. The Bible is very plain. The Bible says that David was a man after his heart, but it also told not every sin, but many of the sins that David did. It showed that he was a man. And that when he committed sins, even though he loved God, when he committed sins, every one of those sins did what to him? It hurt him in some way. God doesn't tell you that he wants you to be chaste and moral and to not go after the things of this world to harm you and to keep you from being happy. Because all of those things out there that are out in the world are not good for you. All they're going to do is hurt you. And if you commit those things, then you're going to reap and you're going to sow all those things the rest of your life. It's just something that's going to happen. The law of sowing and reaping. When David sowed to the flesh, guess what? He reaped to the flesh. When he killed a man to take his wife, he committed adultery with this woman. He killed her, he committed adultery with her. She got pregnant. He tried to get her husband to come back and go and be with her so he would think it was his child. But when that didn't work, then he murdered the man, or had him murdered. God could have killed David, but by mercy, he didn't. But what happened to David for the rest of his life? that was in his family. That sin was repeated over and over and over again in his life. And he was miserable. So when God tells you don't do something, he doesn't say it to keep you from being happy. He says it to keep you happy. All right? Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gated city. Now why was Lot sitting in the gated city? He was he had two jobs here. He wore two hats. He was a what? He was a judge and what else? A lawyer. That's what Lot was. There we have. In Genesis 19th chapter, we see one of the, I mean, besides prostitution, lawyering has got to be real bad. Well, there's a reason for judges and a reason for lawyers. But so many times, these people become greedy and powerful. Well, here was a man of God. This guy was a saved child of God. Now, what's he doing over here in this pitiful city? You go back. And you have to look back and get the story again. Where did Abraham come from? He came from the Fertile Crescent. He came from Mesopotamia. All right? That was the land between the rivers, between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And God said, get out of here. There's too much idolatry. Go into the land that I'm going to show you and leave all of this behind. And Abraham took somebody with him. His name was Lot. And this is the boy that he took with him. He took something out of the world with him. Just think about that now. When you're saved, and before you were saved, you had a lot of pet sins. Some of you ever tried to bring those into your saved life? It doesn't work. If you do, what happens? Misery. Misery. Well, he took Lot with him. And Lot's servants and Abraham's servants didn't get along very well, and they started fighting. And he said, oh, no, let's don't let our servants fight. And he said that their cattle and their sheep and their camels and everything multiplied so much, the land could not sustain them. What was God doing to Abraham? Separate me. We know, the only place we know that Lot was a saved man, it tells us in the New Testament that he was saved. But that man all his life vexed his soul. He was unhappy because he lived like a lost man. Terrible. Finally, God says, Abraham, I'm not going to tell you this, but I'm going to make it where you've got to separate from this ungodly buzzard. We're going to split directions with you. Now, you won't kick him out because you love him. But I'm going to make it impossible for you guys to live together. So I can get him out of your life so I can do something with you, Abraham. So Abraham looked out there and he says, Lot, I want you to decide. Look over all the land and whichever way you go, I'm going to go the opposite direction. And he looked out there in the land and he saw the great green valleys and he saw the desolate hillside. Guess what Lot chose? The green valley. All right. And guess what Abraham got? What the little boy shot at and missed. He got those hills. Those barren hills where there was barely enough. He'd have to keep moving all the time and live a nomadic life. And that's why they lived over there for many years. I've got pictures. Some of you that were in my class that I taught on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I showed you pictures of those real old tents and those herders that are moving constantly across that land because the land won't sustain them very long. So Abraham got to go into that kind of place and Lot got to go down there where the green valleys were. That's around Jericho and the Dead Sea and Sodom and Gomorrah and all these other cities, okay? Now I want to tell you something a little bit about this. God, one time, Lot got in trouble, didn't he? When he was down there. Some other kings came in and they conquered those cities and hauled off a bunch of captives. Guess what happened? Abraham went down there and rescued them. Now, Lot should have changed his life right at that time because he knew God was interceding for him. Abraham went down and whipped all those kings. And all... something that God hates. Now, when these angels came in there and they saw this judge and lawyer sitting here in the gate, that's where the judge and lawyer took place, was in the gate of the city. There was, around every city, there were walls. Well, there were gates on different sides. And inside the gates is where people would come in, and there was all kinds of stuff set up in here. The main thing was set up here was a court. You come in the city like this, and this whole area was a court, and then the city was here like this, and they put walls around the city to protect the city. But within the gates, there were lawyers and judges and trials being going on. The Bedouins said, so this guy did this to me and took my sheep or whatever, and they'd make decisions over it. So now, Lot is out there in the gate of the city. He's a judge and he's a lawyer. It said he bowed down. Now, this guy was about half smart. Half-wit also, maybe. He bowed down with his face to the ground, and he said, "Now behold, my lords." He called them a term that meant supernatural beings, because he knew these people were from God. "Please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, that you may arise early and get out of here. This isn't a fit place for you." From words from his own mouth, "You're not going to be happy here. Get in my house fast. And then I'm going to get up early in the morning and get out." Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is totally contrary to all Middle East customs. When somebody came to your house, you usually try to get them to stay for at least how many days? 3 days. At least 3 days you're trying to get them to take and refresh themselves and go on. And he said, "What? Get in my house and then get out next morning early. This is a bad place." Why was he living there if it was so bad? Why did this man of God stay in such a mess if it was so bad? "Get on your way." And they said, "However, no, but we shall spend the night in the what? In the open square." Yet he urged them strongly. He strong-armed them, so that he grabbed them by the arms and started taking them. So they turned aside to him and entered into his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now he prepared a feast for them and he baked unleavened bread. Why did he bake unleavened bread? What did always unleavened bread stand for? Sinlessness. He knew that he was in a bad place, but he knew still what God's people should be eating. They should not be partaking of the world. So he prepared them a Christian meal in an ungodly place. "Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men whom you who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may ravish them, that we may molest them, that we may have sexual relationships with them.'" This, who came here? Men. Who wanted to do this? Men. To whom? Men. Now that's straight out perversion. So what did we have in this city? What was ruling the city? Idolatrous worship. It had crept in here. We see over in the later in the book of Genesis, where Tamar and Judah were, and what was taking place there in the land. This idolatrous worship. So here we have it right here. "But Lot went out to them at the doorway, and he shut the door behind him, and he said, 'Please, please, please.'" He kept on pleading in the original language. It's something he was continuously pleading and pleading and begging. "Do not act so what?
Wickedly."
Did he know what they were doing? Was it a commonplace attraction in this place? "Now behold, I have two daughters who have not been with any man. They're virgins. Please let me bring them out to you, and you do whatever you wish to them. Do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." What an ignorant fool. They didn't want something that was normal. They wanted something that was perverted. These men didn't want women. They wanted another man.
He was so bad, he was even going to give up his daughter.
Yeah. What an ungodly buzzard. That's how bad God's people can get at times. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you this. Anytime God's Holy Spirit, when God's Holy Spirit deals with your heart, that's mercy. When God convicts you and makes you feel bad because you have done something wrong, that's mercy. He's shedding mercy upon you. He's calling you to repentance. He's saying, come and be saved. Come and repent. Whatever. That's wrong. Don't do it again. Steer clear. Please, my brother, don't act so wickedly. And they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, and already he's acting like a judge. Well, he was a judge, wasn't he? Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot. Lot came and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them. Now who's these men? Angels. God's emissaries. And they shut the door. Now what did the angels do? Remember I talked about types? That we're going to study a lesson on types also. This is a type of something. It says that they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. They couldn't find them or the way anymore. God struck them with physical blindness because they were already spiritually blind. Boy. What a terrible thing. What a terrible, terrible bunch of acts. Well, what happened here in the end? God had to lead his family out. There was Lot. There was Lot's wife. And then he had two daughters. That's four of them. Okay? But the two daughters had been engaged in marriage. They were engaged to two other men. Now, how many all together was there? Six people. Now, Abraham had begged God, if there's five people in that city that are righteous, will you spare the whole city? And God said, finally, yes. He knew he had an ace in the hole because there were six of them in Lot's family. Guess what? They were all ungodly, just like Lot. A man is supposed to be leader in the home. Did you know that? A man is supposed to be the leader in the home, and you have no excuses not to be. I'll tell you right off. God is not going to let you off. You are the leader in your home. Absolutely. You're supposed to make sure things are done God's way. It's the man's job. Well, Lot didn't have any clout with anybody in Sodom. Not even his own future son-in-law. Not even his wife. Well, God had to lead him out of there. He had to force them to leave because God was going to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Why was God going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of the terrible sins of this city. And what is the one terrible sin that we have an example of absolute justice and judgment from now on? Homosexuality. Sexual sins. Alright? Terrible. Terrible. Well, he had to force them to come out. They had to drag Lot and his wife and his two daughters out. The boys wouldn't even go. They laughed at Lot when he said, God's going to destroy the city. They laughed at him. So they got out there, and not only were the boys laughing, his daughters were dragging along, his wife came along, and God told them, don't look back, whatever you do. When you're saved, don't ever look back to the sins of this world. Don't ever look back to those glorious things that you thought were so fine before. Don't look back, because God hated it. Well, somebody looked back. Who was the one that looked back? Lot's wife. So she didn't get to go after all, did she? she got to remain there as a monument of judgment. What a mess God's children can get themselves into. Isn't that something? And every time you go the wrong way, guess what happens? You get hurt, don't you? You get hurt. Pain. Well, when the law of God was given to Moses, and God was sure to put in his law a repeat of this hatred, of his hatred for sin. Leviticus 18. Leviticus. Turn to the book of Leviticus. I want you to get all these things down here. And keep this lesson, because you're going to need it for the rest of your life. Just like all this book, just stick it in the book, the doctrines of the Bible, because you're going to have to keep on answering these questions from now on. Luke, or Leviticus 18, 22. Now these are laws that God gave to his people. It says here, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is a what?
Abomination.
An abomination. You know what abomination also is? It's blasphemy. God created man and woman, and he created them to fit together. When man thinks that they can do something better, he's saying God doesn't know what he's talking about. And God did not make them that way. They were not born that way. You're born in this world to procreate male and female. Again, what does it say? You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. It is blasphemy. It is perversion. Okay. 20 and verse 13. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. Someone read that for me.
If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
All right. They shall be put to death. It is a detestable act. It is blasphemy. It is open and absolute rebellion against God. All right? Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17 and 18. Getting a little bit of biblical sex education today. twisting up in the Bible. Have you got that, Brother John, here?
Sure. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of the harlot or the price of the dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God.
Boy, that's strong stuff right here. None of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute, nor shall any sons of Israel become male prostitutes. What's it called?
Dogs.
Now, God doesn't hate dogs. God likes dogs. He created dogs, but he didn't create this kind of dog. This is not a canine here. This is a male homosexual prostitute. That's what it is. In the book of Revelation, you'll find this also, Revelation 22 and verse 15. It says, you shall not bring the wages of a dog into the house of the Lord your God for any votive act, for both of these are what? Abominations are blasphemy. These are anathema to the Lord your God. If you want to look that up on page in the book of Gesenius on page 477, you can look it up if you want to go do some extra biblical study in there. That's the Hebrew part of it. All right? Let's go on a little bit further. Sex here has become as great as the sin of idolatry because it has become idolatry, hasn't it? Well, people say, well, this was in the Old Testament times.
things are different now. There are churches ordaining homosexuals to the ministry, and we've been hearing all about that on the news, haven't we? Well, let's look at the New Testament examples. Did God change His mind? Does He owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology? What does it say in Matthew 7 and 6? And we're going to stop here, and I'm going to turn it over to Greg after we get through with number 6. Matthew 7 and 6. Who's got Matthew 7 and 6? Okay, Brother Jesse.
Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear them in pieces.
All right, to the dogs. What do you think he's talking about there?
Prostitutes.
Prostitutes. Sometimes you can't even witness. When you try to witness to some of these people, they are going to get mad. God made me this way. No, God didn't make you that way. Romans 1, 26 through 28. That's going to tell us what, how this happened. What, how did they become this way? Romans 1, 26 through 28. Who's got Romans 1, 26 through 28? Oh, Tony.
For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, or even their women exchanged for natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and deceiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to them, as a base mind to do those things.
All right. Now, can somebody say, well, I'm this way, I was born this way, and God made me this way? What does God say in His Word? Now, this is in the New Testament time. This is Paul preaching to the church at Rome. Now, in Rome was this terrible. I mean, this was open. These were open acts of rebellion against God. Well, they had houses where they'd have pictures of these things, and you could go there. I've been over there. You can still see some of that to this very day, what they were doing back then. And Paul told the church at Rome, don't do like these rats you're living among. Don't do it. And when they come into your churches, these people can be saved all right, but when they're saved, they're not that way anymore. Leave it behind. Because when they refused to recognize God and who He is, that's when He gave them over to these twisted, ungodly lusts. Philippians 3, 1 and 2. Philippians 3, 1 and 2. Philippians 3, 1 and 2. Who has Philippians 3, 1 and 2? Brother Bill, are you fast today?
No.
All right. Philippians 3, 1 and 2. Who's got that?
Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is saved. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation.
All right. Beware of what? Dogs. What's he talking about? Beware of the queers. That's what they called them for many years. Beware of them. In Philippi, we had the same problem there. Where do we have, what do we have throughout the New Testament? A confirmation of the Old Testament. Did God change His mind? Now in Revelation 22 and verse 15, and that's the last verse for today. Revelation 22 and verse 15. And we're going to go back and start over there this coming Sunday. This is a hard lesson, but I'm going to tell you what. They're teaching these twisted things in every school and every place. I know we got young people in here today, but they're being twisted in the school. We may as well set them straight in the church. All right. Who's got Revelation 22? Revelation 22. Do I have that, Brother Levine?
No.
Well, no. Revelation 22, verse 15.
Verse 15? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, without our dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves the naked
All right, without or what? Again, you can look in your Bible margins and it'll say the word dogs there. Isn't talking about your little puppies at home. How many of you have little dogs? Brother Bill, I know you've got dogs. A lot of us have dogs and we love those little creatures. God made them, but He didn't make the other ones. The dogs that he's talking about there, God never made one of them. Not one time in history. He never made one. They made themselves. That's how it is. They made themselves. Thank you for coming today. I hope that God has touched his heart or touched your heart with his word. I hope you've learned something from the Word of God today. We covered a lot of stuff in this lesson. A tremendous amount of information. And there's some information here that is absolutely necessary. Thank you for those enduring those hard seats. Thank you for all of our visitors coming today. Hope you come back again. Brother Gray, it's yours.